This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
In the Boston area, we live in the shadow of some of the biggest and most important hospitals in the world. And yet, many chronically ill people in the city don't get the care they need. Why? One reason, they simply don't know how to navigate the complex web of medical, insurance, and social service bureaucracies. The obstacle might be as simple as a language barrier or as complicated as an untreated chronic disease. A program called the Network Health Alliance is trying to help these people by deploying community health workers directly to their homes. In short, they make house calls and act as medical assistants, social service workers, interpreters, and guides. It's modeled on the work of Dr. Paul Farmer, who co-founded Partners in Health, which developed a cadre of healthcare workers in Haiti. Now the model is being used closer to home. Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, has been writing about this. And Rachel, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
So it sounds like the new idea here is an old idea, house calls. What do these healthcare workers actually do?
Right. Well, it's sort of house calls plus. These community health workers, they go to people's homes, but unlike a doctor, they don't simply focus on the medical, although they do that. But a doctor would never, for instance, help you get transportation to an appointment if you don't drive or you have no car. A doctor would never call a daycare center if your child comes home with a bite mark on his or her arm. A doctor wouldn't hang out at the kitchen table with a mother who just had a new baby and talk about the difficulties of that for half an hour. These are things that these community health care workers do, and really nothing is too small. And the whole idea is, how do we get these patients who are often extremely expensive, sick, and these particular patients are poor as well, how do we get them more engaged with the medical system to be able to use it more efficiently and more effectively?
So it seems like these healthcare workers, you write they wear many hats, part social worker, medical coach, you even write part nagging mom.
That's right.
Where do they come from?
Well, they're screened fairly intensively, and they're paid about $38,000 to $40,000 a year. And often they've worked in these arenas, either in Head Start programs or other social service agencies. Basically, you know, this is not for everyone. Not everyone wants to walk into a chaotic home that is a complete mess with a mother who doesn't know how to deal with her kids and is very sick. And it can be fairly overwhelming. These people are incredibly patient, and they walk in no matter how daunting the problems are. They sort of go through their lists. And they can do simple interventions. For instance, I visited one family. The mother was from Brazil. She had an asthmatic son, and she was taking her son to the emergency room every time he needed a refill for his inhaler because she didn't know you could simply call a doctor, get a prescription, pick it up at the pharmacy.
So instead, she was going to an emergency room, waiting in line all that time, all that extra expense.
Exactly. Yeah. And the community health worker comes in. She's Brazilian, too. They're actually from the same part of Brazil. And she explained a very simple way to get the refill.
Mm-hmm. So that's a simple case. You also followed a case that wasn't so simple, right?
That's right. I mean, some of these families have so many problems, you name it. I mean, one family I visited, the mother's morbidly obese. She's depressed. She has a 1, 2, and 3-year-old. Mm. Her 3-year-old, developmental delays. The kid bangs her head against the wall, clearly has problems, and the mother is just overwhelmed. So the community health worker basically sits down with the mother. Okay, let's go through the list. We have to get a diagnosis for your daughter. I'll help you do that. You're depressed. Your medications aren't working. Let's go through the process of reevaluating your medications. I mean, this woman's house was so filthy that the community health worker actually spent 4 hours with a sponge trying to teach this woman how to clean her house.
A daunting, daunting task. Have you heard back how this family is doing from the community health worker?
Actually, I visited them about 6 weeks ago. And since then, I have talked again to the health worker, Enrique Oliveira. And he said the family is actually doing okay. Finally, they were able to place all of their children in daycare, which was a problem. The mother got some new meds and is feeling better. Now the father is in a program to better deal with his mental health issues. And really, it helps them to trust the medical system and to engage in a primary care setting, which again is much less expensive than these emergency ER and hospitalizations all the time.
Well, speaking of cost, the program's goal obviously to get people the care they need, but also to lower costs. Do we know how that's working out? Is that in fact happening?
Right. Well, this program, it actually began last January, but it wasn't fully in place until July. So it really hasn't even been a full year. So they couldn't tell me what kind of cost savings have been realized, if any. A similar program, also a Partners in Health program that started in Roxbury for late-stage AIDS patients. It's called PACT. That program has been very successful. After 2 years, patients in that program, the costs have been reduced by 15%.
You write that the program is a partnership with the Cambridge Health Alliance, so it's only being deployed in towns where there are Cambridge Health Alliance centers. Where is that happening?
At the moment, yes. So it's a total of 2,900 patients right now. 700 of them are children, and it's in the Cambridge Health Alliance system. So obviously, you know, that's where they're starting. They'd love to broaden, but, you know, the devil's in the details, and we'll see. This is something that we as a society are prepared to invest in.
Well, it's a fascinating story. Thanks for following it, and thanks for coming in to talk to us about it.
Thank you, Anthony.
Rachel Zimmerman is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to her piece on our website, radioboston.org. And joining us now is Erica Guimarães. She's one of those community health workers that Rachel was talking about. And welcome to Radio Boston, Erica. Good to have you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So we're interested in the work you're doing. I understand you have a caseload of some 21 patients, including some children. Tell me about your work. How often do you see these patients, and what do you do for them?
We go to the homes, we do assessment, and some of the challenges can be cultural and Brazilian, you know, as well. And I work with many of my families in my caseload come from a different culture. So, you know, part of my role is like a culture broker, you know, explaining to them, you know, sometimes like what a therapy session is like, what a therapist will be discussing with the child, you know, why sometimes a teenager is reluctant to talk to a parent, you know, as opposed to a therapist. Maybe your child just needs to talk to someone. It's just, you know, it's just about talking.
Sure. Sure. So some basic stuff.
Basic stuff. And also, I think in terms of the therapy as well, some parents can be concerned that sometimes the therapist is not sharing, you know, what's going on in a therapy session. So some parents have a hard time understanding, like, the privacy, and they'll understand. They'll get it.
Sure. I understand. Can you talk about a particular case where you felt like you were able to make a difference?
Sure. Yeah. This particular family, the child, the mother had concerns with the child's behavior. So we've helped the parent request an evaluation for the child, and I accompanied the family to the school for the evaluation to make sure that this was going to happen. Sometimes if the parent doesn't speak English, they get to the place and they can't really communicate, and it just, you know, it doesn't happen. So I accompanied the family, and at the end of the evaluation, the parent was told, okay, you know, this child needs to be in school next week. Really need to be working with this child because we are very concerned. And, you know, I know that this is going to be a change for them, a lifetime change, you know, because if a teenager can learn how to take care of themselves, you know, I believe that he's going to be a healthier adult.
Erica, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
That's Erica Guimarães. She's a community health worker with the Network Health Alliance. And you can read more about this story and other health news on WBUR's Commonwealth blog at commonhealth.wbur.org.
Well, up next, Al Jazeera English comes to Cambridge, Massachusetts. But first, WBUR is trying to raise all the money we need to run the station through this coming summer. All that money in the next 4 days. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. If we can do that, we'll cancel the fundraiser that's planned for June. Here's Doug Trabue, reporter Monica Brady-Meyerhoff, and All Things Consider host Sasha Pfeiffer to tell you more.